All right, good morning, everybody. The daf sponsored by the Bamzers, OMO Construction. Yes. Okay, we left off on Dalet Amud Beis, about halfway down or so. We were in the middle of the discussion of whether we need to be someich or masmich geula letfili. You have to connect the bracha of Gal Yisrael to Shmona Esrei. That was a statement. All right, so that was the statement from Rabbi Yochanan. The Amor Rabbi Yochanan says, "Zeze ben olam haba, masmich geula letfila of Mariv." And the point of saying of Mariv is that there's some reason to question that. You might not necessarily think that at Mariv time there would be any reason, any need to connect geula, Gaal Yisrael, to tefila, because at the time of the geula Mimitzrayim, nighttime wasn't the time of Geula. In other words, if Geula didn't happen at night, then Yetzias Mitzrayim time, it's not associated with the nighttime, and therefore there would be no, that's what the Gemara is presenting as a Svara, there would be no, no real need, pressure, urgency to connect the Geula at Mariv time to Tefillah, because it wasn't really the time of Geula anyway. So the Gemara had that. That was the Rabbi Yochanan said, nevertheless, you do have to say be masmich geula letfila, and that's considered to be an important thing. Now, apparently, even in the time of Rabbi Yochanan, that wasn't obvious that was always necessarily done. It wasn't standard necessarily. It might have been common, I don't know, but it wasn't necessarily universal. And there was the other practice of the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So we're on the second wide line, a medium line, I guess, where it says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi savar. Kevin Delo, we're in the middle, hold on. So it says, I guess the second to last of the narrow lines, just for context, if you've been Levi Yomer, Tfilos Be'emtze Tiknum. You're not supposed to say Geula Tfila Chachris and then Geula Tfila at Mariv. You're supposed to say Geula first, that's Gal Yisrael, and then Shmon Esrei, right? That's what we do at Chachris time. But for Mariv, it's the reverse. You're supposed to say what's called Tfilos or Be'emtze the Geulos. So at Mariv time, you would be saying Yir Shmona Esrei first, and then afterwards, you would say the Shema Ubirchas Seha. So Gemara says that that's based on... Okay, I guess let's just keep going over here. B'mai Kamefligi, the last narrow line. Yibay Seh Mekra, Yibay Seh Mesavara. It could be that what they're arguing about can be explained based on Psukim, and it could be based on just Svara. Yibay Seh Mesavara, like in what way? Rabbi Yochanan Savar Geula Me'orta Nami Hevi. Ela Geula Malyaselo Hevi Yel Ad Safra. So Rabbi Yochanan considers that the nighttime was the Zman of Geula, and therefore there would be the urgency to connect Geula Litfila even at nighttime. In other words, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Makas Bechoros already was the time that the Jews were already freed when Paro was running around at night saying, get out. Get out. So that, even though we didn't listen until the morning, and then Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi saw, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, until we actually walked out, that's not geula. Kivin de lohevi yelam mitzafra, lohevi geula mal yisa. So that's the machlokas. Machlokas whether we have what's called geula belayla. That happens to be reflected in the Seder night when we have the machlokas about whether whether that is supposed to be a nighttime azkara or not. The Gemara presents it as seems to be a machlokas atanayim. So they explain it's based on the same question. It's the question of whether we treat the Yetzias Mitzrayim Belayla as a zman of geula or not. So we seem to hold yes. And all the, and we're consistent about it. We hold the mitzvah of Tzias Mitzrayim Belayla. We hold Smichas Geula Letfila Belayla. Anyway, Vibai Se Mikra, the Gemara here says, it says, or maybe it's just a matter of interpreting the psukim, Shnei Mikra Echad Darshu, and they're both looking at the same psukim. Dixi, if Pasuk says, B'shach Bacha Uvekumecha, we want you to recite the Shema, B'shach Bacha Uvekumecha. So, Shach Bacha means when you're going to sleep, and Bekumecha, when you're waking up. So, Rabbi Yochanan Savar, that we're supposed to follow, have parallel practices. Makesh Shechiva Lakima. Makima Kriya Shema V'yachakach Tvila. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying, well, we want to have parallel practices, which is you say Shema, then Shemana Esrei. That's in the morning, and you do the same for the nighttime. V'af Shechiva Nami Kriya Shema V'yachakach Tvila. And Rabbi Shimon ben Levi Savar, I also want parallel practices, but I want them to be symmetrically parallel and not directly parallel, I guess. Makesh Shechiva Lakima. I want the Shechiva and the Kima, you're going to sleep and you're waking up to be parallel. In what way? Makima kriya samach lamitaso. Makima, just as, what does the word ma mean in this context? It's not so easy. It's an expression that we're all kind of trained to use. It's found in regular Hebrew, and Mishnayos, and Gemaras. The word ma, as we're familiar with, is what? But it becomes just like, what? Just like, but how does ma turn into just like? So that's the problem. Is there any basis, or is it just how it goes? So I thought ma is short for mamatzinu. Ma means like mamatzinu means what is characteristic of, or what do you see about regarding kima? Is kriyas shema samach lemitaso? When you wake up, you say shema right away. Samach lemitaso. Almost as if it's like how I want to establish the attitude of my days with Kriyas Shema is with basis with Emuna. Samach lemitaso. Avshchiva nami Kriyas Shema samach lemitaso. What I want to preserve from the morning experience and duplicate that at the evening is I want to have my Kriyas Shema to be the end, the other end of that bookend kind of, so that we go to sleep with that, with emuna issues on our mind, with kriya shema on our mind.
You can interpret it, what is ma is what. So you can see what applies in kima, afshiva also applies in shiva.
I know, but I don't think in English you could talk like that. I think that you can only do that because you understand that usage, that syntax, but that's not a really translation. So it's not going to work directly. The question is only what is the thinking of ma? That's my own suggestion. You think that ma can translate directly here and not even necessarily have to be touched up? That it could read straight? I don't know. I think that all of the cases.
Obviously, it's a little weird, but you can understand that what applies here also applies here.
Right. I think that what you're saying is almost identical to what I'm saying, which is that you don't have to ignore the meaning of ma in the line and just turn it into just as and just ignore the fact that it says ma. I think that you can massage the word ma into the spirit of what's being said over here. So we're both, I think, saying approximately the same kind of thing. So it says, so that's the machlokas. All right, the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Levi. And So apparently even in his times there was a question about how you would daven Marv. You say Marv with Shemana Esrei and Shema, or the other way around. We know what we do. But let's see, the Gemara is now going to try to see if it can prove or disprove one side or the other, as usual. Must say for Marv Bereda Ravina, Marv Bereda Ravina presents a kasha. This is, he says that one side or the other of this is against the Mishnah or a Braisa. Let's see what he says. Be'erev, so we know this from the Mishnah. Be'erev mevarech shtayim lefana u'shtayim li'achareha. The Shema itself is surrounded by brachos, and at nighttime, at Mariv time, it's two brachos rishonos and two brachos achronos after Shema. What are the two brachos achronos? We say Gal Yisrael and Hashkivenu. So now the Gemara says that, hold on, this goes against Rabbi Yochanan. Ve'i amrit boilis moch, if you're going to say that it's necessary to connect Gal Yisrael to Shemana Esrei, then what were they doing making another bracha as an interruption? Haloka samach, geula letfila, dehaboy lemeimar ashkivenu. You're not connecting geula letfila because you're saying ashkivenu. At Shacharis we don't do that because everybody knows that you have to connect Gaal Yisrael to Shmona Esrei. But at Maariv time, apparently, you see, from what the Tanaim instituted for Birchas Kriyas Shema, that they didn't consider that to be important. So in answer to the question, the other Amoraim responded as follows. They say, well, that doesn't prove that we don't care about Gaal Yisrael, Geula Letfila at Maariv time. All it's saying is this. Kiven de Takina Rabbanan Ashkivenu, because they insisted that you have to say Ashkivenu, Kigula Arechta Damya, it's going to be viewed as if it's part of the theme of Geula. It's continuing the theme of Geula, and it's not a hefsek, and therefore it's not considered a violation of the principle of connecting Gaal Yisrael to Tfila, to Shmona Esrei. What in the world does that mean? That Hashkivenu is like Geula. Is there any mention of Geula in Hashkivenu at all? I don't really know why it's not bothering more people over here, but the Rabbeinu Yonah in the back gives you his suggestion. I don't know, it's like the only one I've seen, is that the Medrash describes that Hashkivenu itself was the sentiment expressed by the Jews at the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim time. Is that they felt, they still felt very nervous about what they were about to embark on. And so Hashkivenu, even though it's the nighttime of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so then that's the way the Rabbeinu Yonah kind of writes it, is that Hashkivenu was evocative of the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And so when we pray to Hashem in Hashkivenu, that Shmor Tzeisenu Hu'enu, L'chaim u'l'shalom, so then that is a part of the Geula experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So he understands that's why it's not a hefsek. It's part of the geula. And then when you read Rashi over here in trying to explain what in the world is the big deal to try to connect geula to tefila, Gaal Yisrael to Shmona Esrei. The Gemara just takes it for granted, but it doesn't really give you anything to go on. It doesn't really give you any background. So Rashi first has to give you a source. It tells you a source is that in Tehillim, the pasuk Hashem Tzriva Go Ali is right before the pasuk Yancha Hashem B'Yom Tzara. Okay, so Hashem is the Goel, and immediately you describe Hashem as answer my bakashas B'Yom Tzara. And then Rashi goes on to quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi. Here in Brachos, in like three dafim in, you see Rashi is quoting the Yerushalmi. It's like, don't get too used to that. Rashi is not going to be doing that too much. Rashi is quoting a passage from Yerushalmi where it describes that clearly what's going on is this. Before the, it's like it's derech eretz. It's derech eretz that when you want to ask something from the melech, then you're supposed to be mesader shevach Hashem. So that's what the Gemara itself says several places later on, that before you say your tefillah, you say shevach Hashem. You praise Hashem without asking for anything. And we do that in different ways. Our Shemona Esrei itself is built that way. It's at the beginning of the Shemona Esrei, we don't ask for anything. We just describe Shevachos of Hashem, Hashem's Gevura, our relationship with Hashem. But apparently we also do more than that by saying Psuke Dezimra. The Psuke Dezimra is a more elaborate and poetic expression of our Shevach. That's the elaboration of the Shevach in the form of Psuke Dezimra. So this Talmud Yerushalmi is saying, but that's also the role of Geula, of Gaal Yisrael. Then when we describe Hashem as being the Goel, that's almost like the pinnacle of the Shevach that we want to refer to Hashem. We're invoking Hashem is the Goel, and that it's almost as if Hashem is receptive to listening to what we're asking for at that point. And so that's why you don't want to make any interruptions, because you don't want to break the mood. That's the way that Yerushalmi characterized it over here. So then you kind of understand, if you're going to say the bracha, Ashkivenu, that doesn't break that mood. Is that we kind of refer to Hashem as the Goel, and then we describe Hashem as Shmor, Tzeisenu V'Oeinu, even though we're asking for it, rather than describing it. But still, it's consistent with the same theme. I don't know, the Gemara over here calls it Geula Arichta rather than Tefila Arichta. It's not as if we're starting our Tefila already in Ashkivenu. I don't know. So it's a little bit, still there's more to work out over here. But at least the Rabbeinu Yonah attempts to try to come up with a way to connect why Hashkivenu is like Geula Arichta, why the Gemara characterizes it as a Geula Arichta. Then the Gemara says it's obvious that you have to have some tolerance for these kinds of interruptions because we always make an interruption. When even in Shachar's time, when we have an insistence that's an unchallenged insistence of saying Geula right before Tefillah, which is in the introductory pasuk of Shemona Esrei, which is Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. So the Gemara says here, you have to say that there's tolerance for this like additional bracha here, and that doesn't challenge the argument of needing to connect Gal Yisrael to Shemona Esrei. The Ilo Teima Hachi, because if you don't accept this kind of like additional interruptions with mandatory insertions, so then at Shachar's time, Eichi Matzi Mismach. Then how do you consider that you're connecting Geula to Tefillah? Behalma Rabbi Yochanan says himself, Betchila Omer Hashem Svasai Tiftach. Rabbi Yochanan says that you have to begin the Shemona Esrei with the introductory line of Hashem. Well, the Besov, when you finish your Shemona Esrei, conclude with the Pasuk, Yula Ratzonim Refi, also from Tehillim. And so, if that's Rabbi Yochanan's own insistence, and he himself was the one who insisted on Smichas Gula Litfila, even at Marav time, certainly at Shachar's time, so obviously there's a kind of a tolerance for these necessary insertions, such as Hashkivenu, or such as Hashem Svasai Tiftach. Why is Hashem Svasai Tiftach? The Gemara says is clearly Kivan de Takin Elohasam, Kivan de Takin Rabbanan Lemeimer Hashem Svasai Tiftach Ketfila Arichta Damya. Since the Chazal insisted that you have to say Hashem Svasai Tiftach as an introductory pasuk to the Shemona Esrei, that's like Tfila Arichta. That's clearly it. Kind of becomes part of the So Achanami, given that the Kinner Rabbanu Lemeimer Ashkivenu Kigula Arichta Damya, since they insisted that you have to say Ashkivenu as part of the brachos of Shema, so then presumably that's like the Geula in the sense that it's not a hefsek between Geula and Tefila, and so you can maintain that policy that even at Marav time you must connect Gal Yisrael to Shemona Esrei, and you still have to say Ashkivenu anyway. All of the Rishonim here, everyone, is all bothered by this problem. We exerted ourselves pretty mighty to try to justify the Brach of Hashkivenu for anybody who holds that you have to connect Gula Litfila. Well, what do we hold? Do we hold that you have to connect Gula Litfila or not? So, even though I indicated last time that it's funny that we're paskening against Rabbi Shuv and Levi, even though normally we would, but they all say the same thing. The Riff, everybody says the same thing. You're paskening like Rabbi Yochanan because there is the brisa that was mentioned last time on the top of the Amud, which characterizes what a person's evening is supposed to look like. And in painting that picture of what's your evening supposed to look like, it actually spells out. And you come home, I mean, you go to shul, and you say Shema, and then you say Shemona Esrei, and then you go home. So you see that in the picture of what your Marav looks like, it's Shema, then Shemona Esrei. So that's how we pass it. So we pass it like a B'Yochanan. And therefore, presumably, all of this hangs together. We obviously hold that you have to connect Geula to Tefillah. So everybody's bothered by the question, well, so why are we saying that other bracha that isn't even in the Gemara at all, Baruch Hashem Li'olam, that Baruch Hashem Li'olam, that long paragraph, Baruch Hashem Li'olam, which ends in the bracha Yiru Inenu, and so that whole thing, that's not here in the Gemara. So what's with that? And apparently we're so concerned about not interrupting. So why do we do that? Also, they're concerned about the Kaddish that you say after, because that also, that's Kaddishes normally are supposed to mark interruptions or discrete sections of the Tefillah. That's not supposed to be flowing from one section to the other through Kaddish. So they're all bothered by this. So all the Rishonim. So some of the Rishonim are so bothered by it that they ignore the minhag of saying it and that they don't. say it at all. That was known as the Ramban's view. And on the Tosas on the side over here, and others shown in the back, everybody, all they try to defend it as being like Hashkivenu. Once it became the practice to say it, they all point to some kind of a historical urgency, some historical need for why it was necessary to say Baruch Hashem Li'olam at a time when it wasn't going to run afoul of the problem, because they described that it was when you were not going to be saying Shemona Esrei right after Shema. And so even when we kind of reassembled the davening in the format that we have it, so we presumably were comfortable with the notion of putting in Baruch Shem Li'olam. Now, what can I tell you? It's just a question of judgment about whether it's considered to be hefsik or not, and so the minhag evolved the way we have it, that it's not really considered a hefsik. However, Tosas on our page says, but don't take this as permission to schmooze. We're still in theory adamant about not interrupting between Gaal Yisrael and Shemona Esrei. It's just that it's a little weaker, so there's a little more interruptions that are built into the tefillah. What is so great about Hashem Svasei Tiftach that became put into the Shemona Esrei as our standard introductory line that even supersedes Geula LeTefillah at Shachar's time, and that we'll say that as kind of a necessary introduction to Shemona Esrei, so much so that some of the poskim would insist that the Chazan say that out loud also. It's not, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't insist on it, but you can see where it's coming from. That you might have to say that if the whole point of the Chazan's repetition of Shemona Esrei is to say the Shemona Esrei that a person would require, so then he would say Hashem Svasei out loud also. So what's that all about? So I don't know if anybody remembers from a number of months ago when we had Rabbi Penner, who was a scholar in residence standing here, so he addressed that question, and he explained that essentially what it says in the back, also I think the Rabbeinu Yonah he gave, which is the fact that Hashem Svasei Tiftach was itself said in David HaMelech's Mizmor, where he reflects on and prays for forgiveness for the whole terrible incident with Bathsheba and Uriah Achiti. And so, apparently he's expressing in this Mizmor, and certainly in the introductory line of this Mizmor, is that this is a tefillah where he knows that he's not really deserving of kapara. And nevertheless, he's asking Hashem to kind of put him in the right frame of mind to feel appropriately contrite and be able to express himself appropriately, and that his tefillah should be accepted in a manner that Hashem takes his tefillah the way he's trying to intend. And so since that kind of captures the sentiment that you're praying even though you know you're unworthy, so then that's maybe suitable for everybody's introductory line to their Shemona Esrei, something like that. He says a little bit of a different thing, because he emphasizes how when you know you don't have karbanos, and you're living at a time when you're dependent upon karbanos to be able to establish your connection with Hashem, and so you don't have any karbanos nowadays. So we're going to have to be fully dependent on our tefillos. He says, well, that's like what David HaMelech was like, because when you do Averis B'mezid, karbanos are not going to help you. And so therefore, it is a very amazing. That's the way the Rabbeinu Yonah describes it. Okay, in any case, two dots. I'm Rabbi Elazar, I'm Rabbi Yavina. Since we mentioned a part of the davening, that if you can maintain this practice, it's like a ticket to Olam Haba. See, that's what it said earlier. Eza ben Olam Haba, if you masmif ge'ula l'tfila, of mariv and kol shkein of shachris. So over here, we're going to say some other kinds of tricks that during the davening that can buy you Olam Haba. Let's see what it says here. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Avina, Kol HaOmer Tila LeDavid B'chol Yom Shalosh Piyami Muftach Lushu Ben Olam Haba. Anybody who says Tila LeDavid three times a day, what's Tila LeDavid? We call that Ashrei. Tila LeDavid is the Mizmor 145 Kuf Mem Hey, and it says that Mizmor apparently is such a, I don't know, a powerful mizmor, that if a person recites this three times a day, that's our girsa. On the side, they have a whole question about whether the girsa is supposed to include three times or not. then muftach lo shu ben olam haba. Then that's, that guarantees that you're ben olam haba. Why? What's so great about this? What's so great about this mizmor? All right, it's nice, but what's so great about the mizmor? So it says here, my taima. Yilema mishum isa the aleph beis. Is it just because it has the aleph beis organization? Is that it's in alphabetical order? Is that the whole thing? So then neima ashrei tmimei derech. So then you wouldn't, it wouldn't just be ashrei. There are a number of other ones also, such as the longest perek of Tanakh is Kuf Yud Tes, and that one has the Aleph Beis times 8. It has 8 Psukim of Aleph, and then 8 Psukim of Beis, and 8 Psukim of Gimel. So that should be an automatic ticket to Olam Haba. So why do we emphasize Ashrei? So then, Elam Yishim Dispei Poseach Hesedacha. Or maybe you're going to say it's because of this very powerful Pasuk, Poseach es yedecha, umaspiel chal cheretzon. That pasuk, Poseach es yedecha, is apparently here the Gemara is taking this as being a very seminal pasuk. It's the core of the whole theme of Psukei Dezimra, that we describe Hashem. This is not a prayer. You see, sometimes people read Poseach Es Yedecha as if they're praying for something. Poseach Es Yedecha means, Hashem, you open up your hand, umasbiel achal chai ratzon, and you provide to every living thing whatever it wants. So the pasuk Poseach Es Yedecha kind of captures everything about how Hashem is the provider, and we are recipients. And so that, I guess, all by itself, kind of captures, that's what the Gemara here is making the case for that. And that seems to be obvious to the Gemara. So that pasuk itself might all by itself account for why Ashrei is such a potent mizmor. So then the Gemara says, but it's not the only one that has such a pasuk. Neima halal agadol. Dichsiv bei, osein lechem l'chol basar, kiil yolam chasto. Halal agadol is that other mizmor in Tehillim Kuflam Zayin. It's the one that has all the kili olam chastos. That's called halal agadol. That one has the same theme. No sein lechem lechol basar kili olam chastos. Also, Hashem provides for everybody. So that would have the same benefit. That ought to also be something that you could be like a ticket to olam haba. So again, we're back to wondering why are we focusing on Ashrei so much? Ella mishum des beitarti. Must be because Ashrei is the one mizmor that combines both the aleph beis and Osein Lechem L'chol Basar, and Poseach Es Yedecha. That still doesn't explain what's the big deal. So that's why you have to look for people in the back to try to make sense out of what's the big deal about Aleph Beis. Why is that a big deal? And why is and Poseach Es Yedecha? Okay. I mean, you could work on it, but I don't know. But anyway, that's what the Gemara says. That's what leads, you know, in the Sidurim, they tell you have extra kavana when you recite this pasuk Poseach Es Yedecha, because it's really the core or the essential line of Psukei Dezimra. And that's also why the poskim say that while it's true that the plan is that you're going to say the entire davening from the beginning of the Siddur to the end of the Siddur, but the reality is that sometimes you have to skip. And when you have to skip, you have to skip wisely. And you're supposed to be smart enough to know which mizmorim are the more important mizmorim and which are the, if you could say this, the less important mizmorim that are more dispensable. And so they point out this, that even if push comes to shove and you have to make up time and you have to fly through the davening, then they point out that the one thing to not skip, if possible, is Ashrei. And so if you have to, you take your Psukei Dezimra at a bare minimum, and it looks like this. It's just Baruch She'amar, Baruch Rishona, Ashrei, and Baruch Achrona Yishtabach. And that you've at least captured the essence of Psukei Dezimra by doing so. So in any case, they were accepting that notion. The Mishnah Berurah and Simen Aleph throws in a kind of a gratuitous remark over there, where he says that don't take this line literally, that a reciter of Ashrei is promised Olam Haba. That is not really the spirit of this line. The spirit of this line is that if you contemplate Ashrei, and if you assimilate the principles of Ashrei, and if you actually can incorporate that into your whole worldview, that will guarantee that you'll conduct yourself in a way that you'll be earning, you'll be entitled to Olam Haba. So Mishnah Berurah a little bit kind of deflates the some of the, I guess, the promise of this Gemara over here. All right, in any case, two dots. No, we're past the two dots. Yes, Beitarti, okay. Am Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan, once we're on the subject of Ashrei, let's talk a little bit about that. Incidentally, they point out over here, that's weird. He calls it Ashrei, like what we call it. We call it Ashrei, but that's not really what they would be calling it, because we only call it Ashrei because we, in later years, we tacked on a couple of additional psukim onto Tila LeDavid that don't belong there, one of them being the pasuk right before it. But anyway, he's already calling it Ashrei. That's interesting. Anyway, why isn't there a nun in Ashrei? Now, the answer that's given here of Yochanan says, "Ibn Pnei Sheyeshba Mapala San Shel Sona Yisrael." Now, Sona Yisrael is euphemistically referring to the Jewish people. Mapala San Shel Sona Yisrael. That nun is, I don't know. It refers to, it captures, it conveys, it in other places describes the downfall of Am Yisrael. Dechsiv Nafla Lo Tosif Kum Besulas Yisrael. So that's why there's no nun. Meaning that's why, I don't know, that's why David HaMelech didn't put a nun there. Some point out that it's specifically here where you've just described Hashem in the Mem Pasuk as Malchuscha, Malchus Kol Olamim. You're the Melech, Kol Olamim, Mimshaltecha B'chol Dor V'Dor. So then to right away follow up with a nun, which is representative of, in some way, Mapalas and Shel Yisrael, so that's... that apparently is too inconsistent, and so that's what David HaMelech's thinking was, where he skipped the nun of the pasuk, the nun pasuk in Ashrei, or what he would have otherwise composed as the nun pasuk. But nevertheless, okay, fine. Incidentally, it says over here, the Gemara says, Bima Rava, they look at this pasuk in Amos, where it says Nafla Lo Sosiv Kum Besulas Yisrael, and they punctuate it in a way that it's not a despairing sentiment, but it's an encouraging sentiment. Nafla Lo Sosiv, you've fallen, but that won't happen again. Kum Besulas Yisrael, b'marava mitartzi lahachi. Nafla Velo Sosiv Lin Polod. Kum Besulas Yisrael. So not so much that's supposed to be such a scary pasuk, but a hopeful pasuk. In any case, notwithstanding that, the nun is still a kind of emblematic of the Nefilas Yisrael. And you can see that also in the next line. It says, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Afilu Achi, Chazar David V'samchan Baruch HaKodesh. Nevertheless, look at the pasuk in Samach. The Samach pasuk says, Samech Hashem L'chol HaNoflim. Shenemar Samech L'chol HaNoflim, which kind of is representative of the fact that that's kind of in the back of his head, he's aware of the Nefilas Yisrael, and nevertheless, Hashem is the support for and the restorer of the Noflim. Just as a matter of academic interest, I don't know what you want to do with this, but I think that that if you look into it, you'll discover that, like in the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Ashrei has a nun, and it is Nefila. And so you have to take a look there and see what's going on. So I don't know what to do with that, but there's something kind of to be aware of. All right, two dots. Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Avina, Gadol Mashen Emer b'Michael. This Rabbi Elazar bar Avina was the one who said earlier, I think, about Tehillah LeDavid b'Chol Yom. Incidentally, we do say Tehillah LeDavid b'Chol Yom three times. It's just that it's not Shachris Mincha Mariv, it's Shachris and Mincha. So it's a little bit unclear. Why is it that way? It might kind of support the Kabbalistic notion of not saying Torah Shebichtav b'Laila. So, okay, in any case, two dots. Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Ravina, Gadol Mashen Emer b'Michael. Okay, now we veer away from these halachic topics into some Agada. Gadol Mashen Emer b'Michael, Yosir Mashen Emer b'Gavriel. What the pasuk characterizes Michael as, or describes Michael's abilities, is greater than Gavriel's, in case you're wondering. Deal by Michael, ksiv, because by Michael, We only know this from the visions that are being described to us in Daniel and Yeshayahu and other places. So it says, Yeshayahu, it says, Vayof elay echad men ha-serafim, one of the seraphim. As you know, these different levels of angels, one of the high levels of angels is seraphim, another level is ofanim and chayos. Those are the three, I don't know, higher levels that aren't malachei shareis, the ministering angels. So one of the seraphim, without being named, is Vayof. He flew over to me. Okay, that's impressive. But Bila Gavri Gavriel, but when it describes Gavriel, Daniel says, Ha'ish Gavriel, so he names him by name, Shera Isi Bechazon, that I saw in the vision, B'tchila Muaf Biaf. He flew. Implication being that that Michael can just fly where he wants to in one flap, and Gavriel needs two flaps. My mashma the hayechad Michael. How'd you know that the anonymous seraph was Michael? Rabbi Yochanan, because it says as yechad echad. Ksiva chavayof la yechad min hasrafim. Ksiva asavini Michael echad min hasar marishonim b'alei azreini. Okay, because the psukim say the anonymous pasuk is described as echad min hasrafim echad. And in the next parak, he's described as Michael, he's named Echad ben Asar. So you see that Echad is a kinoi for Michael. Okay, and then Tana Michael Biachas. We have a brisa that kind of ranks the relative power of different entities. And it says Michael was Biachas. Michael can get around in one flap. Gavriel b'shtayim. Gavriel gets around in two flaps. Eliyahu, he's on this list now. Eliyahu is b'arba. He can get around in four flaps. Malach ha-maves b'shmona. And Malach ha-maves, he's slow. Takes him eight flaps to get where he wants to go. So presumably there's time, there's room for intercession, interventions, and defense. I guess that's the idea here. Anyway, but Bishasa Magefa, though, Biachas. But Bishasa Magefa, nobody can get in there to block the Malach HaMavas. All right, two dots. Which means that rules that normally would apply in normal conditions do not apply in Magefa conditions. And so under a Magefa condition, you're going to have Magefa plans rather than regular life plans. That's what you see from this Agadatha. All right, two dots. Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi says the following. Afal pi shekara adam kriya shema b'vesa kinesis. Even if you said Shema and Shul, not even if, but even though, you said Shema and Shul, mitzvah l'kroso al mitaso, you still, there's a mitzvah to say Shema again when you're going to sleep. That's the mitzvah of kriya shema l'mita. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Maikra. Rabbi Yossi, how do you know? On the side it has here, Rabbi Yossi the Tana? He's not going to ask that. You mean Rabbi Yosef? Or Rabbi Asi, Rav Asi, has to be some Amora, but not Rabbi Yossi the Tana asking, because this was a statement from Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So, Maikra, where's the pasuk that tells me about Shema Lamita? Pasuk is, Rigzu v'yaltechetao, imru bilvavkam al mishkavkam v'domu, selah. That pasuk. If you say this pasuk in the Kriya Shema, that's familiar. Amar Rav Nachman. Oh, so how do you see from that pasuk? Pasuk says, Imru bilvavchem al mishkavchem. You should recite these words. Which words? The levav words. What are the levav words? The words that you're supposed to say in your lav, like v'hayu advarim al shanach mitzavcha hayom al levavecha. That's the Shema. So you're supposed to say the Shema again when you're actually lying in bed. Amar Rav Nachman. So okay, in a related way. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, "Im Talmid Chacham who ain't tzarich. If he's a Talmid Chacham, he doesn't have to." So that would only work if you could understand the concept, and then you can start applying on these different circumstances to that rule, to that principle, and then you understand if whether what you're saying makes sense. So he understands what the whole Kriya Shema Lamita is about, and why a Talmid Chacham, why it shouldn't apply. He doesn't explain. He just says, "Im Talmid Chacham who ain't tzarich." So Rashi says, "Shiragel b'mishnah so lachzor al girsa so tamid dayo b'kach." The fact that he's generally learning stuff in his head is good enough. It doesn't have to be Shema. It doesn't have to be just any kind of Divrei Torah should be good enough. Says that's what Rav Nachman said. But Rabbaye says, Av Talmud Chacham Iboy Lelameimer Chab Suka Derachami. But Rabbaye says, yeah, but you know what? I think that even the Talmud Chacham should at least say some pasuk of Rachami, such as Kigon Biyarcha Afkid Ruchi Padisa Si Hashem Kel Emes. That what's really going on over here? Obviously, what's going on over here, and we'll see this as we move further, is that this is for Shmira from Azikin. So the question is that does the Talmud Chacham need Shmira? Rav Nachman says the Talmud Chacham doesn't need Shmira because he always says the Divrei Torah, and the Kriya Shema itself provides the Shmira. So that's for regular people, where at least as a minimum we can expect them to say Shema. And Abaye is saying, well, the Talmud Chacham might be chazering whatever he's learning, but you want to try to emphasize or pray for Shmira a little bit. So mention something like Biyadcha Efkid Ruchi, that I might leave my soul in your hands. Okay. Amar Rav Levi. So you know what? Let's just stop over here. We didn't finish Daf Hey today, but at least we started Daf Hey, so we can say that. And I'll stop here. All right, everybody.